Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Well, I guess we could rule this out as the song Ellie never heard before.
Be quite the spoiler if you did that, you know. Just
I don't know if they
I've
do it anymore.
One. I've heard this one.
I used to love baseball games, like when the starting pitcher gets run.
Yep.
And they play this.
That is really good.
It is. It is good.
I also love like when the manager will be on the mound and they'll do like the
Yeah. It is a fun touch. All right, welcome back, Midday Show. Elliot in for Hugh today. We got a lot to discuss. We'll get back to all your phone calls on Trey Turner, Kyle Schwarber, and the Bryson Stott leadoff thing. We're all in agreement. It's time for Stott to leave the leadoff spot. It's been really below standard for what a leadoff hitter needs to be. Yesterday, if you look at yesterday, of the 30 leadoff hitters in baseball, Bryson Stott's OPS is 28th. I mean, it's just not good enough. They need more of that spot. Big moment last night. He couldn't get a hit in the fifth inning, and it's part of why that game got away from the Phillies. They lost it with the Romano pitch in the ninth inning. All right, we'll get back to that. Who should it lead off? I would just move everyone up. Trey, and then Harper, and then Schwarber, and Elliot wants to go Schwarber in the leadoff spot. But Elliot, we got a CJGJ Instagram post to react to because, well, a couple days ago, Vic Fangio spoke, and it's the first time he spoke in a while. It was an interesting press conference, and he was asked
Always.
I love hearing Vic talk. Yeah. And he was asked about, you know, the move that sent CJGJ out of here. Here is what Vic said a couple days ago when asked about the trade that sent CJGJ to the Texans.
What were your thoughts on trading CJ?
That was a salary cap type thing and how he made that decision. I was fine with it.
All right, so that was Vic, and CJGJ obviously got wind of that, and he put up an Instagram post yesterday, and I always have to try to, like, decipher what he's talking about, but I think we could try to do it. So this is what it said. I quote, I was a test dummy for them, so now they could be like my, quote, scheme work, or did my skill set make it work? 100 emoji. I had zero issues. People had issues with me. So, yeah, let the salary cap be the, quote, excuse. Elliot, your reaction to CJ's post.
Well, I will say in CJ's defense, before we get more into it, I would also probably be hurt if the defensive coordinator so callously was like, I was fine with it.
It was cavalier.
Right?
Yeah, whatever.
I don't think that would go over well with a lot of players. But regardless, I mean, I think this is probably a look at why they got rid of CJ. And it's interesting that he said that, you know, people had issues with me. Like, that was not really how this was portrayed when he was traded. He himself, once he was traded, remember, he got on, I think it was like a stream or whatever, and said, he's fine with it. You have to pay young players. He gets it. I think maybe reality's setting in for CJ that he's in Houston now. I think, you know, the first day or two, it's probably easy to say to yourself, oh, this is exciting. Maybe Houston will pay me. From what it seems, Houston has not paid him yet. So, yeah, I mean, CJ, look, I wish him the best, but, like, I think even he would probably acknowledge he is worse off in Houston. Like, he would rather be with the Eagles. So it has to be upsetting to then hear Vic Fangio go, yeah, I was fine with it.
I agree. And, Elliot, I look, it's not just because he put this up yesterday. I felt this when it happened. I feel it now. I understand he's a lot sometimes, and maybe he does wear out his welcome places, but he's a good player, and he helps teams win wherever he goes. I think the Eagles are going to regret this trade. They didn't get much back for him, and it felt like, to me, the entire offseason, they didn't do enough to replace him. Now, we'll see what Andrew Mukuba becomes. He's a second-round pick, and maybe he becomes a really good player. I thought he was pretty good at Texas. But they had to use a pretty high pick to replace him. And then let's hear Vic Fangio the other day talking about the safety position. It just feels to me like the whole thing is in flux as we enter camp. They don't really have an answer right now what they're doing at that position.
What are you looking to find out about Cooper as you're trying him out at base, at corner, and in that plan right now?
With Cooper DeJean? We'd like to keep him at nickel. And then in our base package, we'll find a spot for him, either at corner or safety.
What's the benefit of someone who can play inside at nickel and outside in base? Because you'd have to find, someone at corner at the nickel size with like 80% of snaps.
Yeah, I think a lot of it will end up depending upon how the rest of the guys develop and where do we most need them. So it will be determined by what's best for him and what's best for the team. And it'll probably what's best for the team will win out in that decision. But he's capable of playing corner and he's capable of playing safety.
What do you like about the idea of Cooper at safety and what will go into determining whether he plays at safety or the outside?
Well, I think he would play very well at safety. I think it suits his skill set, things that he does well. I just think he would do very well in there.
All right, Elliot, the fact that he brought it kind of unprompted, the safety thing, makes me believe that he's a little uncertain what he has at safety right now. Because they have Reed Blankenship, who's the constant. And then the other spot is Sidney Brown, who he mentioned the other day might not be as far along as we think because he missed time physically last year. Tristan McCollum, who seemed like every time he got on the field last year, the defense gave him some points.
Vic loves him, though.
I know.
And Vic brings him up unprompted all the time.
And then Mukuba. Well, if Tristan McCollum might be part of the answer, I think we created a problem for no reason. I think they're going to regret trading CJ GJ.
So I don't think they will. I think CJ GJ is a good player. I think he is a replaceable player. I don't think it's a coincidence that he's been on now, four teams in 4 years, iterations of the Eagles. And I think that ultimately, it was the correct decision for the team. I agree with you that they have an unanswered question at safety right now. And it is my biggest concern on the roster, probably from a personnel standpoint, not including coaching. But they have to replace him there. But ultimately, they are better off. CJ was not going to be happy here not getting paid after Saquon got paid. Obviously, he wants to be paid. Two, he's a free agent after this year. They were going to let him walk. They were likely not going to re-sign him. And they are better off getting something. You can say it's nothing, but they're better off getting something for him now when they obviously feel he's a replacement-level player. I think CJ gets so much credit for, 2022 Super Bowl, 2023 wasn't, 2024 they go there. The 2023 Eagles were always going to struggle. It is so hard to lose a Super Bowl and get back to the Super Bowl.
Sure.
I think only one team's done it in 40 years. CJ is the perfect player for fans because you can just project on him whatever you want, right? He's a good guy in the locker room. He brings, some swagger. This team is in trouble if the key to everything is Chauncey.
Well, okay.
And I don't think that is the case.
But he made plays in 22. He made
plays
in 24.
But he also gave up plays.
But I think the net was positive. I mean,
but apparently the Eagles disagree.
But they were wrong 2 years ago. Or they were wrong in thinking they could replace him because the safety position stunk in 23.
The safety position
was
not good.
Who was the guy they went and go got?
Kevin Byard.
And he tried to take over team meetings. That was a disaster.
Well, I think he saw a problem there with the coaching.
Okay, maybe. But he wasn't any good when he got here. I just feel like they've done this already where they get rid of him. Maybe we should have kept him.
Team that does that. Detroit got rid of him. New Orleans got rid of him. And I do think he is, again, a good player. But he is also a flawed player. He misses tackles. He gets out of place on assignments, right? I think Vic Fangio right now calls all the shots. Let's be real. And Vic wants somebody, I think, that will just do what the scheme says. And that's not always Chauncey's strength. And again, he is a bad tackler. He improved as the year went on last year. But tackling is not a strength of his. And I also think that, again, he is a free agent after this year. Trading a player away that you're not going to re-sign is smart business. And they're saving cash for all the other defensive guys that they have to get rid of.
But they could have paid him.
No.
They could have. They gave Saquon extra money for the hell of it.
No team has paid Chauncey. We inflate Chauncey in this city to more than what he is.
I think you're underrating him.
I don't think I am. The entire league agrees with me. And I'm not saying that means they're right. But there's a lot more people on my side of where Chauncey seems to fall in terms of safety rankings and pay than where you and some of the fans are.
I'm not looking to make him the highest paid safety in the league. I just wanted to keep him. You don't think they could have kept him and gave him a little bit more money and he'd be on the team this year? I do. They chose... ESPN had a story this week talking about spending, offense, defense, spending. Yeah. The Eagles are so far in on one direction of spending on offense. It's amazing.
Like, yeah, but that's
all their money's on the offensive side.
If you look at the last 5 years, I think they've made 19 picks in the first three rounds.
Yeah.
15 of them are on the defensive side of the ball, and one of those picks was traded for AJ. So, yes, you are going to have a discrepancy in spending when you are using what, in my opinion, is the most valuable asset they have. Like, I think draft picks, especially in the first three rounds, are more valuable than cap space and cash, right? They're limited in quantity. The NFL controls them. Cash, you can spend how much as you want. When it comes to like the biggest assets in the organization, they have used them on the defensive side of the ball. So they clearly are investing in defense. And part of the reason Chauncey is gone is because they want to pay guys next year. So Chauncey is not a good enough player, in my opinion, to feel like you need to spend cash here that's going to hurt you down the line when it comes to signing your better players.
I just think they're going to regret this. And what I mean by that, I'm not saying they're going to go 7-10 next year without Chauncey. I just mean, like, this is a problem. They created a hole at safety. They didn't have to do it. Like, what was he going
to
do?
They did have to do it.
What was he going
to
hold out? He's a safety.
You want an upset Chauncey Gardner-Johnson in the locker room all year? Well, you can say that, but look at Hassan Reddick. Hassan Reddick in 2023, everyone's like, oh, what's he going to do? Hold out? Blah, blah. He had a disastrous year. They got rid of him the next year. He was unhappy all year about his contract, right? Like, that is not what you want in the locker room when you're already going to have so many other things holding you back next year. Trying to come off the Super Bowl, yeah. Pressure, all that.
All I know is they added money to a running back's contract they didn't have to do.
Well, I disagree with that.
Well, they didn't, but they didn't have to.
I mean, I agree with you on that. Yeah, I think the Saquon thing was a mistake.
So they could have added money to CJ's contract and made him happier. Right? Like, they just keep prioritizing the offense, and I get that's where their best players are. I think they're going to regret this thing. Kyle, where do you come down on CJ, GJ? As you knew he'd take the bait and respond when Vic said something.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to regret it?
I mean, in terms of his play on the field, I think it seems pretty obvious that they're going to regret it.
Yeah.
Like, they don't have a clear-cut replacement for them. Vic doesn't seem too dead set on any particular guy. I mean, he's trying Cooper DeShean out there. I know Andrew McCuba, they just drafted him, but he's a rookie. And I know he's a little bit small, so like we'll see what happens with him. And then just the situation in general, it's like, what, Tristan McCollum, Reed Blankenship, like that doesn't really inspire too much confidence for me. And I understand C.J. Gardner-Johnson is a little bit of a head case, and maybe he goes off script a lot, but the reality of it is, they dealt with it. I mean, they had him on the team for two whole years, went to the Super Bowl 1 year, and then won the Super Bowl the other year. Clearly, it's something that can work within the structure of the defense, and he makes a lot of plays back there. I mean, he might be hogging the ball, but I'd still rather a guy that gets six interceptions in a season than some guy who busts coverage all the time, makes no plays.
Well, let me ask you this.
You get a little bit of both with CJ.
Who would you rather have be upset next year, Chauncey or Saquon? Because you're saying they paid Saquon, and I wouldn't have done it.
Well,
but
yeah.
Regardless, they felt like Saquon, and I'm sure they didn't just call Saquon up and was like, hey, you want an extra $30 million? Mm. Like, I'd imagine that was Saquon feeling he deserves a raise, and you can only do it so much when you're saving cash for next year.
Yeah, well, to answer your question, it would obviously rather be, you'd rather have
Saquon happy.
But I don't, like, I sort of reject the premise. Like, I don't think Saquon's going into next year pouting. If he doesn't get a $20 million contract.
We can say that about players just because we like them. That's not the reality. If you feel you are underpaid at your job, I completely understand.
Well, sure, but that, I guess that's sort of just like my perception of what it is with Saquon. Like, I just was an unnecessary move to pay him more. Like, he's already getting top of the market money in terms of a running back. Like, the Ravens didn't pay Derrick Henry until after they gave Saquon the extension. They paid him less than Saquon.
Saquon only had one more year guaranteed on his contract, yeah. By the way. He had 2 years left, but in theory, all the guaranteed money, I believe, was gone after the second year.
Yeah, right.
So he was actually, in a weird way, in line for a contract. Now, they broke what they normally do to do it, which is why I disagree. But I can see why Saquon wanted paid.
Okay, but like they also have 20-something million in cap space. They're not up against
cap
it.
Cap space is different than cash,
I understand that. And you keep talking about next year. Don't they want to repeat? Like, I'll just make it very simple. They'd have a better chance to repeat if Chauncey was still here. They're worse without him.
So, I don't think you can say that definitively yet, because we will see what the safety play they get is. I agree with the premise of your statement, which is obviously Chauncey is a more proven safety than anybody they have on the roster right now. You could argue Reed Blankenship's a better safety, but he's here regardless. We will see if it ends up hurting them. I agree that they took a risk in doing it, but when you're building a team and you have to take all these things into consideration, something has to give, and Chauncey is not a big enough deal to, like, alter your plan
for it. I think, like, the other ones they lost made I wanted to keep them, but I understood it, right? Josh Sweat was a free agent. You're not going to outbid the Cardinals for him.
Milton Williams
and he got a huge contract. They
got traded him away. Like, the Eagles were proactive in dumping this guy when he was under contract. And you might be right, it might have turned into an ugly thing. They jumped the gun on this. They didn't have to.
They created a hole. Well,
they created a hole. And
I
then
think
they
did have to, though.
But you used the analogy that the picks are the most important thing. They created a hole to then have to use one of their most important assets to fix.
Because they don't think Chauncey's that good.
Well, they're wrong.
I don't know if they
were wrong 2 years ago.
So if he's so good, why did they get, what was it, a fifth and a bust of an offensive lineman? And why, when he was a free agent multiple times, has he not gotten big deals?
All I know is when he's here, he plays well.
I think you're projecting that a little
six
bit.
Six interceptions.
Yes, he is good at creating turnovers, and that is important. I agree with you on that. But obviously, they don't think he's that good. Like, they're telling you what they and the league is telling you what they think.
Well, but you know what? My eyes told me every time Tristan McCollum took the field, the ball went over his head.
It's tough. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
the Commanders game, the Super Bowl.
He's not. I agree. I'm not a big Tristan McCollum.
So you think there's no world in which we could have Saquon and CJ Gardner-Johnson on this roster next year? Because that's sort of where this conversation goes, that this is a move they had to make.
The other part of it that you're leaving out is that they need, I believe, to save cash for next year because they are going to pay Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, N'Kobe Dean, maybe not. Like, you know what else we don't talk about a lot? Tyler Steen. I believe Tyler Steen is finishing his third year. If he's a starting guard all next year, he will be due for a contract, right? There are a lot of guys that they need to pay, and they have to save cash for that.
I think I feel better about having a little bit of uncertainty at the guard position.
Yeah, I would.
Than I do
Are
at
you
safety.
Kidding?
No,
I would much.
We don't
much
even know.
I think it's an easier hole to fix.
But I'm saying if you have to, I think safety is a far less important position than guard.
Well, I don't necessarily agree. Not in this situation. Like, the Eagles have an offensive line that I think makes it easy for a guard to succeed.
So,
and they have a coach that also makes it. You know, he can.
I also
make a guy look a little bit better than he is.
If your argument is it's easier for the guard to succeed than the safety on this team, I would agree with you on that.
Yeah.
But I would rather have great guard play than great safety play.
I also wonder if you know, through the whatever he types, I mean, you got to have to like read through the lines.
Well, I like the use of the 100 emoji.
Me too. That's very Elliot. Yeah. I also wonder if there's some truth to this. Maybe he's just a pain in the ass and they use the cap as an excuse.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty evident.
What do you think about the reverse, though? Like, what do you think is... Do you think it would be worse for the Eagles as a team to have really bad safety play or really bad guard play?
I think really bad guard play.
I don't know if I agree with that.
I think the heartbeat of this Eagles team is their offensive line.
But do you think Stoutland can make most...
Well, but he's saying...
But, like, the line as a unit, I think, can make up for the deficiencies of a bad guard, whereas I'm not sure, like, because...
Well, they got a ton of talent in the secondary.
Well, they
Quinion,
do, but...
Cooper,
but
Reed.
There's also another pretty glaring hole. They let go Darius Slay and Isaiah Rodgers.
Yes.
That's a question mark there, too.
Agreed. I agree with that.
So, like, if Cooper DeJean's not good enough on the outside, and then all of a sudden, like, you might have, like, two, three holes on this defense.
Let me put it this way, then we'll go back to the phones. 215-592-9494.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
We are one Reed Blankenship injury away from a disaster at safety.
Maybe.
Oh.
Well, look, I agree
McCollum
that you're
and Sidney Brown and Makuba. That's one of the worst safety pairings in the league.
But hold on. Makuba was a second-round pick. Last year, they have first and second round. They've hit on every pick in the first three rounds for like 4 years.
Okay.
So while I'm not the biggest fan of the Makuba pick, the idea that he could play well is not crazy. Because we've seen rookies come in time and time again and
one.
Do it.
What's the other safety?
Well, that's the next question. I agree with you.
No, but I know. But my point is we're one Reed. And Reed gets banged up sometimes.
He does.
We're one Reed injury away from running out like Makuba and McCollum to start the season.
Well, that's Cooper at safety and then Perry Nicholson.
Well, that's
Perry
right. Nicholson, like, it just felt unnecessary.
But I think the problem you're describing, like, I'm not even sure Chauncey fixes it the way you think he does. Like, they clearly don't think Chauncey's that great of a player. So we can say this is great safety they're losing. I don't think they view it
good
that
safety.
Way.
Yeah.
Well, he
good,
might not be
good.
A fix, but he's a patch.
He's that, yes, and a good one. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. You can react to this as well. The Eagles are going to regret trading away Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. I think they are. Elliott doesn't, and the Phillies leadoff spot. It's time to move Stott out. Who goes in, Schwarber or Turner? Ray in Delaware is up. Hey, Ray.
Hey, guys. Great conversations on the Phillies. So, leadoff, I'm going to say that, this is what I think you guys – this up what the Phillies will do. I think they've given Stott a shot and it's going to move on, and I would go Turner, then I would go Harper, then I go Schwarber. That's just my opinion. I think that would work. But if we're going to have that conversation with such passion, are we happy with the production out of Marsh and Kepler? And I'll throw Wilson in there, which I think they're hitting about 215, 220, each have about 5 or 6 home runs. And I'm not saying Cody Clemens we should have kept, but he's beating all of them. So if we're going to have a conversation of about leadoff, what about you trade one of those guys, Justin Crawford, we start exposing him to the team, and now we have a better defense out there too, because we always give Turner the crap for missing that ground balls all the time. But remember, Weston Wilson missed that ball that started the inning the other night.
Well, he did. Yeah, right. You're not wrong. We don't spend the same energy on it. But yeah, I mean, those guys have stunk, right? The Kepler, Marsh, Weston Wilson, they're not getting anything. And right, it's fair to bring up the Cody Clemens thing. Now, the Phillies didn't play him. It felt like a square peg round hole. He was just like here, not playing on the bench. I don't know if people realize what he's done since he got to Minnesota. So he has played 28 games for the Twins. He's hit 5 home runs. His OPS is over 900.
Like 265.
I know. Yep. Like, he could have played left field instead of Kepler. It is kind of weird because they kept him around for like 2 years to be a pinch hitter, part-time player, and then they dumped him. Obviously, he can hit if he gets at bat. So that might go down as a mistake they made.
Well, and Ray, I think what hurts his team just quickly is Dombrowski has pretty consistently missed on the edges
on
since
the margins,
he's been on the margins. Yeah, like there's not a lot of steals he's made in the lineup. Now the pitching staff is good, the starters, but the bullpen and the lineup he's missed on.
Well, he made a huge one with Nola. That's going to go down as the worst Phillies re-sign in the history because we are better without him there. Unfortunately, I mean, we all love Nola, old Nola. But those years are done. So that was – he missed huge on that. So
yeah, that contract could age like milk. I mean, that could be –
worst contract, him or Embiid?
I think Nola will still pitch.
Yeah, now, I think Embiid's worse.
Yeah, I mean, Nola 3 years from now will be a very, very highly paid fifth starter, but he'll probably take the ball a lot. So I don't even know if Embiid's ever going to play again.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, but if we're going to nurture the future of the Phillies – and you guys talk about, we're not going to do a wholesale, let's bring all these guys up, painting everybody one time. We need to work things into the equation. Like Victorino was worked into it. And, you know, when you're talking about leadoff, throwing a guy leadoff, I think Jimmy Rollins, now Jimmy Rollins is maybe a different pedigree. But that dude came up, and I think he said, hey, you're the leadoff guy, go for it.
Yeah, so I think a difference there, though,
the team wasn't as good. They weren't
competing for a World Series there.
Yes, and I'm not saying I would do that either, because I'm going to stick with the preface, what would the Phillies do? No, they're not going to put Justin Crawford in the leadoff spot. No. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying, if you're happy with that production in left field, and you're happy with, well, personally, I like Rojas out there because, you know, he covers everything. So if you're happy with that, why would you not be happy with Justin Crawford out there? Because I bet you he would hit better than 220.
I think he would too, right? I don't think there'd be much power. He only has one home run in the minors this year, but he probably would. I mean, he's hitting 340 in AAA this year. Go ahead.
Right. And so I'd be happy with it. Anyway,
I don't think it's far-fetched to think that if they don't upgrade the center field spot by July, like they just call him up and send Marsh out of here.
Or left field. But and because why do I say somebody's going to go out of here? It's because you definitely need another arm. Because like you said, last night that was the awful. We lose the game in the ninth because the Phillies aren't hitting and their defense is bad, and then the reliever gives up.
Yeah, Elliot said earlier, it was like all the ways they could lose in the playoffs.
It was like watching a nightmare of a game.
It was. It was the lineup. It was the defense. It was the bullpen. Ray, what do you got for us? What's your guess for Elliot's clues?
Yeah, that's a great one. I don't know. This is way out there. I'm going to say Michael Jackson, Black or White.
I've heard that.
He knows that one. All right,
I will say I'm surprised how many people are picking songs I actually know. I thought a potential problem would be.
Yeah.
I don't, but yeah.
No, it's actually good. But we'll get a second clue for Elliot's clues coming up.
They have no respect for your music knowledge.
No, they don't.
They're picking very popular songs.
Yeah, it's actually going to be fun to see where this goes today. All right, 215-592-9494. Your phone calls on all of this. The leadoff spot. I think it's time to move Stott out. Who goes in? Elliot wants it to be Schwarber. I'm putting Trey in the leadoff spot. Trey, Harper, Schwarber is how I would start the lineup today. Your phone calls on that. And are the Eagles going to regret the CJGJ trade? I think they are. It feels like at the position. I wanted to keep him. Elliot was good with it. Where do you come down? We also got to get to a big 180 that happened on this station, and I think it's about time we take sides on this. DeCamera versus Fritz. We'll hit it next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Yeah, this song works for this week. It does. It works for the WIP right now. Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, JoJo, in for Hugh today. Elliot Shore Parks. Coming up at noon, we're going to check in with Hugh at his adventure to Bucky's in the middle of the night last night. We got an Andrew Painter watch. Later in the show, Elliot's going to try to convince me Ace Bailey's the guy for the Sixers.
Gotta do it.
I remain...
Ace the pick.
I like that, I don't love the player. Well, he played at Rutgers. All right, we'll get to that.
He played at Rutgers.
I mean, Rutgers.
You know what? I'll say, do you guys have like a Kung Fu... Wow, this is very...
Wow, you're very Hugh today.
Yeah.
Kung Fu Hugh, yeah.
That's a good one, yeah.
Yeah, we have a lot of Hughes, as you know, around here. All right, we'll get to the Hugh stuff, but speaking of Kung Fu fighting, and back to your phone calls, and we got to get a second clue for Elliot's clues, but we got to start here. So yesterday, I was very happy to hear something that happened on WIP, because it was a whole day of really, it was sad. I mean, Jack, you know, said he had an arm injury and he wouldn't do the pitching thing, basically giving DeCamera a free win in their competition. Well, I think everyone reacting to it got to Jack. This happened yesterday on the afternoon show as Jack Fritz responded to the criticism, and it sounded like he changed his mind.
Yeah, so, all right. This has been actually like the most annoying 24 hours of my life. I've been lashing out at Spike. I've been lashing out in the meetings. Frankly, I've been down. My name has been dragged through the mud. I am a father of two, a leader of a household, you know, a backbone of, I think, this radio station, and the single most trustworthy Phillies voice in the city. And because of all that, like, I will rip my bicep off the bone if it means I'm going to ruin that little twerp. Like, I'm throwing.
Oh!
Like, I don't
That's
care.
That's my guy!
I don't care anymore. And guess what? First pitch, up and in. I'm going to stuff this little runt in a locker like he should have been done his entire life. I am so sick and freaking tired of this absolute dork non-athlete. He can't even walk without hurting himself.
Yes.
He has a weak golf swing. I've seen it. It's actually, he looks sickly when he swings a golf club. It's disgusting. He's basically a see-through human being. His haircut's horrible.
Yes.
He's
bad haircut.
Like, Ike has better hair than Joe DeCamera.
Going straight, but that's okay. You're on the road.
Like, all I have is Richie in my corner, which actually makes me want to fight the camera more. Like, I'll rip it off the bone. I don't care.
I thought that was awesome yesterday.
I'll rip it off the bone.
Yep. And I thought it was important that he did that, because Jack was going down meekly and we were all reacting to it. The camera was basically taking a victory lap before the competition even started. Jack needed to do that. Plus, I said to Jack yesterday, you could throw, just lob it over the plate, and the camera's going to swing and miss.
It was very disappointing for Jack to drop out.
Yes.
You know, like, I was texting him saying this can't possibly be true. Especially when the whole, like, if he dropped out of golf or something, whatever. But he's a baseball, or used to be, a baseball player.
Yes.
So for him to drop out was very disappointing. I think there's a lot of takeaways from this. You know, we do like a post-game show.
Yeah.
I think Joe's in Jack's head.
Well, I think
there's no question.
That's obvious.
Joe is in Jack's
head. We've reached that point.
That doesn't happen yesterday if Joe is not in Jack's head.
That's a win for Joe to get Jack back on the mound.
But he almost had the win by default. Like, if Jack had bowed out of baseball...
Well, no, they were going to do something with baseball. He just wasn't going to pitch.
Okay.
So, now, as someone that's gone against Jack as a pitcher...
Yeah, you can speak to this.
It's not that tough. So, like, I hit the ball out of the outfield on him. So...
What do you mean, out of the infield?
Yeah, out of the infield, yeah.
Out of the outfield would be a home run.
Locked into a home run.
Yeah. Give me a few more swings. Who knows? But no, I mean, I think this is a win for Joe.
That you could say. I'm glad Jack did that, because Jack was really trending towards a bad spot.
And I'm proud of him.
I'm proud too.
Yeah, proud of him.
I mean, he stood up and acted like he had some guts to him yesterday, which I think a lot of people were questioning, and that's probably part of why he said it was
leader of a household, as he said.
I'm not, you know, most trusted Phillies person. Well, you know, I don't know about all that, I'm proud of Jack for standing up yesterday. I'm glad he's going to throw to him. I think Joe has no shot to hit the ball off of Jack.
I disagree.
Oh no.
To hit it.
To get a hit. What is the...
I don't know how they're doing it, but...
I would think he'd... I think I heard it described, right? Joe has to get on base like 3 out of 10 or 4 out of 10 times.
Oh, at least no shot he does that.
Yeah, whatever. I think Jack should win this going away. And I just know this. After all this has played out and we're waiting for this thing to actually start, I'm rooting without question for Jack.
I'm rooting for Jack too.
I mean, I think it's... I mean, how do you root for DeCamera in this?
Well, it's tough for you to root against Jack. It is your former showmate.
Well, I just... I Would it be good for the station if DeCamera wins?
A year of DeCamera kind of peacocking
it absolutely
around.
Absolutely would
yeah,
be good.
Yeah, but DeCamera would peacock around all over the place.
The better content might be Jack just being unable to accept that
there's,
he lost.
There's no question yeah. Jack losing is better for the station.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
All right, but who are you rooting for?
I'm rooting for DeCamera.
You can't root for DeCamera.
I have to root for DeCamera.
No, you rooting for DeCamera. No, I know look, Elliot always roots for the hammer.
Well, the hammer, I got to root in the beat
the
hammer.
No, you do not have to root for the hammer.
Why? It's impressive.
All he faces is tomato cans.
Well, I wouldn't call that's her callers that, but that's, you know, you're
no,
your
hold on. There is a
not the callers. There's the people who call the contest line to try and win a prize.
The callers are wonderful. The contestants are tomato cans.
So
and they know it.
If he only won like 6 or 7 out of 10, then whatever, but I think it's harder than you think.
You know
what he does.
You know what the mistake Joe makes is he still awards the prize even when he beats somebody.
Yeah.
If they're gracious. Don't like people think that they can just get in.
Well, you can hear it with the
get
answers
an over,
we
get. Yep. And they still might win the prize. Like, you know, a little better competition, I think, on Beat the Hammer.
Yeah, well, I wish we did
but
have that.
I'm a guy that roots for the underdog.
Yeah.
From here,
the camera's the underdog.
Rocky, the camera, of course, is the underdog.
Yeah, but the underdog is poking the favorite. I mean, that's kind of different than normal.
But that's what's making it fun.
It is fun.
Like,
one thing I hadn't considered with this is the mental aspect of it.
Well, that's where
physically, I think Jack is a far superior athlete to Joe.
The first thing that came to my mind was the mental.
Yeah, I think if Joe wins, Jack folds. Like that's how it happens. Joe's not going to outperform him in basketball and golf. Or baseball.
I think what was also interesting about this is they are golf and baseball are pretty mental sports. Like basketball, running, not so much, right? Like that's just physical talent there, I think. But golf and baseball do require, I think, like some mental toughness.
Especially the golf.
And I think because Jack's way better at golf than Joe is.
Yeah, from what we hear.
It's like a 25, stroke difference or whatever.
Enormous.
Yeah,
it's a lot of strokes.
Yeah, it's a lot of strokes. So, but... No, if Joe wins the first one, things could get very interesting.
Yeah.
So I agree with that. I believe Jack's going to win. I'm rooting for Jack to win. Do I have a twinge of worry about the mental stuff? Yeah, I do.
More than a twinge.
Yeah, a twinge. I mean, it's in the back of my head.
While that was awesome what Jack did, can see right through it.
It's kind of a win for Joe.
It was a huge win for Joe.
To get Jack back so quickly. Like to dictate what Jack does based off what Joe is saying.
Yeah. Jack didn't have enough conviction to stick by what he said for 24 hours.
Well, the reaction got to him.
Yeah,
he said it.
Right.
How sore could his arm be from throwing a football?
I mean, come on.
Well, that's what I said. Before they went on the air yesterday, I said, what, are you headed to Tommy John? I don't think he appreciated that. But, I don't know what. I don't know what's going on with his arm.
Jack's, 31? His arm shouldn't be tearing off the bone throwing a football.
I agree. So maybe he's not in as good of shape as we think.
That's what I'm.
But come on, it's DeCamera.
I know.
But here's a question:
DeCamera tore his groin for years running to first base in fantasy camp.
But ignorance is bliss. Like DeCamera thinks he can do this.
Yeah, there is also a shot. While you guys say Jack might fold, he might. Joe might fold over, roll over, and just keel over in the middle of
both of them do.
That they don't get through it.
The other part to this is, I do think that there was a little bit of like a tortoise in the hare situation, right? Where I think Jack knew he was going to win, and there was no. I wonder a little bit if now Joe has made Jack pay more attention to this.
Oh, he's awoke a sleeping giant.
Yeah, I think prior to this, Jack would have just kind of coasted in and won, and then maybe at that point it's too late if Joe gets him.
Yeah,
I think Jack is fully locked into beating Joe.
So the underdog's poking a little too
much.
Exactly,
yeah.
But this could be like a Drago situation where Drago's throwing a bunch of body blows and he's like, this man is made of iron.
Yeah.
Like, well, nothing's phasing this guy.
Don't forget, though, in Rocky IV, Apollo died.
Killed Apollo.
I just want to make sure we all get through
this. So Joe's either Apollo or Rocky.
So if Jack starts to pitch, and his arm is hurt and he stops, what's the verdict there?
Joe wins?
Okay.
I would think if he can't get through the competition.
I would think so too, right?
Jack's arm tears off the bone, the camera wins.
Can you imagine Jack walking around in a sling in the office?
especially
is there a waiver? Does Audis have to pay for surgery?
Sure, after all this, he'd say he'd tear the bicep off. I'm sure there is a waiver.
We've seen what happened to Angelo.
Tore both hamstrings.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
What was this again? He raced or something? Yeah.
Yeah. How do you tear both hamstrings?
And it was right away, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or not, I mean, Jack's the one talking about how decrepit the camera is and that he can't walk. Like, if Jack's the one that falls apart, the colossal L for Jack.
It is. But I liked what I heard yesterday. All right, we need to know who you're on the record, who you're officially rooting for, DeCamera or Fritz. I'm rooting Fritz. Elliot, you're rooting?
Fritz.
And we know Kyle's rooting for Joe DeCamera. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. But first, Elliot, why don't you give everyone a second clue? So we have a great prize giveaway today. We have a pair of tickets to a championship season, a musical put together by The Man, NFL Films, and the Eagles, July 24th at The Man in Philadelphia, hosted by Merrill Reese. Giving those away today. We're playing Elliot's clues. How about clue number two?
All right, so remember, clue number one was a song that's famous.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that was number one.
Okay.
Number two. It came out before I was born.
All right, song you don't and never heard. It is famous, and it came out before you were born.
Yeah, and that should lower it. That should shrink it because most good music came out more recent years.
Oh, you're an ageist when it comes to music.
Yeah. So
okay,
song came out before I was born.
So like, have you actively avoided this song, or you never sought it out? Because it is famous. The song
it's
that
a
we're
very
looking
famous
for.
Song. Yeah, I just never heard it.
It's wild that this is a fact.
I don't even have interest to hear it.
See, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
I think by the end of the show, we're going to play it later on.
Yeah, I'm excited. I guess I'm excited to hear what it sounds like.
Well, I think the audience needs to hear it.
I guess.
I'm just curious if when you hear it, you recognize it. That's what I'm...
I honestly don't think I will.
Okay. How do you know you haven't?
Because I just don't think I have.
Maybe you have and don't even know. Bruce in D.C.'s up. What's up, Bruce?
Hey, good morning. How's everybody doing? And of course, I'm the first selectee after the second clue has been released.
So. You are, Bruce. Bruce, are you eating lunch?
Yeah, yeah, you caught me.
What do you got? What do you have today, Sam? What do you have? A sandwich?
Well, actually
Bruce's clues?
Like late breakfast. Is this some plain old Raisin Bran?
Just a little
Bran.
Oh, that's gross.
Well, honey, you got the milk in there or eating it dry?
I'm sorry to hear that.
let me ask you guys this. Is the first meal you eat of the day always breakfast?
Or brunch?
I think it's always breakfast. Like, if I have a hoagie at 12, I think that's breakfast.
That's not breakfast.
And your first meal of the day is breakfast.
No, you could say it's brunch or lunch,
nah,
but it's not. A hoagie's not breakfast.
It's your first meal you ate.
What if you work overnights? Yeah. What if you wake up?
And that's dinner. No.
Like, what if it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon? You slept all morning. It's not breakfast anymore.
4 o'clock gets a little interesting.
Okay, so the time is more important than the food for you.
Yeah, the food is irrelevant. It's more about it's your first meal.
Yeah. All right. So Bruce is having. So did we establish you have some sort of milk or like
well,
in
he's
there?
Having cereal, which is
oh,
a
yeah,
breakfast
yeah,
food.
Yeah. I gotta have. And so I got this thing about milk and cereal. So I have to put a glass of milk in the freezer and let it ice over just a little bit, so it's ice cold. And then I throw it in the cereal. You know?
So what? Are you a whole milk, half skim, plant-based milk? What do you go with, Bruce?
No, I'm definitely not plant-based.
Like, almond? Nice almond milk?
You like almond or oat better?
I do oat.
I mix the two.
Yeah. Ew.
Yeah, oat milk.
I do it for smoothies because the oat milk is too thick for the smoothie.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, you don't want that. Go ahead, Bruce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but... but yeah, so I guess... So we were talking about... We're talking about the Fields. I know you kind of
lead off hitter. Yeah, we want Stott out, and I'm moving Trey up to one. You know, Harper two, Schwarber three. Elliot over here wants to put Schwarber in leadoff.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. I think Trey has clearly demonstrated that he can take over the leadoff spot, the leadoff spot, and then drop Stott down to. Four or five. I'm not sure how to, and hopefully that'll fix some of their problems. Because
we might have to move Stott down to seven or eight.
It'd be
or
funny
nine.
If Stott ended up protecting Bryce.
just jumble them all up.
Yeah, because it just sucks. I mean, you know, the most frustrating thing, I mean, now, again, I hate the way they lost that game last night. I mean, but see, you know, the real problem with the Phils, let me say just on the positive side, they cut down on their strikeouts, and
for sure,
and they're becoming more disciplined at the plate.
Yep.
But the Phils are at the bottom of the league in runners and scoring positions. They absolutely suck in situational batting, and they have given away a number of games where they've had opportunities to generate runs, and they're simply not doing it. I don't know why. If it's a psychological thing, we've seen it. It's just happened too many times this year, and that's the part that they really need to fix aside from the defense and maybe some bullpen issues But they really need to fix that part if we're going to do anything.
Well, especially, you know, without a good bullpen, because every little run matters, right? Like, if we could take a one-run lead and make it a three-run lead, that gives us a way better chance to win because the bullpen, you know, we know Bruce is not very good. All right, Bruce, what do you got for us? What's your guess for Elliott's clues?
Okay, so I'm glad he said it was before I was born because I was going to go old school anyway, and the first song that popped in my mind was Play That Funky Music, White Boy by KC and the White and the Sunshine Band.
No, I know Elliot knows that
I've heard that.
Yeah, yeah. Elliot knows
Although,
that one. Bruce, we appreciate it.
I would say Pretty Fly for a White Guy.
Better than that?
Yeah.
By The Offspring? I mean, they're very different songs.
And that was also after you were born.
Correct. Yes. But it's not a winning answer. I'm saying I like the song.
Yeah, they are different songs, though.
They are, correct. Yeah.
One's more of like a wedding song, and one...
They're both about white people.
Both have white people in the title. That's really what...
By the way, did you hear the other day Hugh's slip when he was trying to remember the name of the Reed Blankenship Cooper DeGene pod?
No, I didn't.
So it's their new podcast is called Exciting Mics, right?
Yeah.
He called... Casual whites,
which is a laundry setting.
I like to think of them brainstorming of what to call the pod. It's like casual.
Yeah, we're just casual whites. No big deal.
Here's a question for you.
Okay.
So I think something interesting has happened with this Phillies team. That I don't know how often we see this happen with people in Philly. I think in 2022 and for most of 2023. They were viewed as an extremely clutch team.
Yes.
Like, people trusted them in big spots. And the reason I say this, because it stuck out to me that, you know, the last caller pointed out, they're bad in situational hitting. And it's just, you don't often see someone that's, like, labeled clutch change.
Flip.
I feel like it's harder to get to being labeled clutch. And then once you get it, you're good. I'm a little surprised how many people have bailed on the Phillies as, like, a team they trust, when for almost 2 years, they were easily the most clutch team in the city. At least that's how they were perceived.
Yeah, well, it is an interesting flip. I think the more we watch them fail in October, we forget that the good ones. We forget the good moments of 2022, early 2023, because now what sticks with us more is the collapse against the Diamondbacks and then last year against the Mets. It feels like the further we get removed from that World Series, the further people believe that's who they are.
Well, and look, they might not go back to a World Series. Like, that's probably the most likely to happen. They won't go back. But I'm a firm believer of, like, if I've seen you do it before, I'm not going to rule you out doing it. And I think too many fans are just ruling out that they could go on a run and the bats get hot. Like, we've literally seen them do it.
How much of the DNA has changed, though? Like, I think we forget how big of a part.
Hoskins
was a... Like, in that series against the Padres, the NLCS, he's the biggest reason that Harper was set up to get that moment because he had two home runs in game four. Like... They've missed him in October.
They've missed him, but I think that when this run was happening where we all believed in him, Bryce was the one that got all the credit.
Yeah, it was.
Right? So I think it would be hypocritical when they're winning to be like, oh, this is Bryce, and now when they're losing, say, well, they miss Hoskins.
You know what I think it is? I think it's simple as this, because Bryce is still here, Schwarber's still here. I think deep down, people don't trust that Trey's going to get a big hit in a big moment. I don't.
I think that's probably it, because I think Castellanos has had enough where you can talk yourself into
it. I could see Castellanos doing it. I could see him striking out, but like he gets in zones where he gets red hot and he could do it. I think it comes down to, like, do people really believe game on the line, Trey Turner, October against the Dodgers, is hitting a big hit?
Yeah, I don't.
I don't either.
But I do actually, in a weird way, trust the other guys.
Like the Castellanos is?
Yeah.
Castellanos hit well last October. He was like one of the only ones that hit in that series. Let's go to Drew in Westchester. What's up, Drew?
Hey, what's up, folks?
Hey, what up, Joe?
What's up, Elliot? Joe, I was about to agree with you with the main topic, but the former Beat the Hammer Winners Club would like to lodge a formal complaint with being called tomato cans.
Let me say.
Yeah, Drew's far from a tomato can.
Referring to the losers that he beats up on, that's clearly not you.
Like, True, when you know, every boxer that Mike Tyson took down in his prime was not a tomato can, but there were some tomato cans. I'm not saying you were a tomato can.
I got you. Yeah. I know. Yeah, you get in. I'm not great with boxing references, but you get in a band.
Yeah, like I'm not going to name names, but I'm sure you've heard a few tomato cans hop on the last few months.
I have.
Well, Drew,
haven't
you beaten him multiple times? Am I wrong about that?
I beat him once. And the first time we played, there was a lot of controversy where where it ended up basically being
that doesn't sound like the camera at all.
So it sounds like you beat him twice, because I'm guessing it wasn't you putting up the fuss about the timer.
So I would just prepare Jack that he needs to be a strong negotiator, because if there's any type of thing in question, Joe is going to really push against
it. Well, that's another point for the camera. I'm not sure how much Jack's going to fight for it.
Agreed. Mm. And Joe will stick to every little thing.
Every detail.
Absolutely. So I'll answer the main Phillies topic, and then I wanted to run a trade target by you, Joe, and mm-hmm. get your thoughts there. But yeah, I'm with you. I'm putting Trey at leadoff for now, and that's not a guarantee of what I'm going to do in October. But my thing is, I just feel like Bryce has had such kind of like a weird, like topsy turvy start to the season, where I just want him to see, you know, as many good pitches as possible for the time being. And I think the way to do that is Schwarber still protecting him. I just worry he's going to get frustrated if, you know, Boehm or Castellanos is hitting behind him and he's just not seeing anything. So I'm with you with Trey in the leadoff spot.
Agreed.
Now.
Yeah, I think that's it's two parts for me. Trey, I think, has done well enough that he could handle it, right? He's pretty much got on base one or two the whole season, which is good. It's been the most consistent he's been. The other part is real, because Drew, if I'm an opponent right now and Bryce is up and it's not Schwarber behind him, I'm not pitching to Bryce. Like, I just go ahead, Alec Boehm, you beat me. Castellanos, you beat me. I don't fear, especially if it's Boehm, I just don't fear those guys. And I think it'd be like October the last couple of years, Drew.
Exactly. We've seen it play out. And look, I think what I'm about to say could make our lives a lot easier. I heard you bring this name up a couple of weeks ago, Joe, but I forget where you landed. Where are you at on the Rafael Devers stuff? And let me just make my case real quick. I've been following this guy's career since he came up. I've had him on a fantasy team for, you know, 8-9 years. I'm super in. And I think the idea that, you know, this guy's like a malcontent has kind of gotten overplayed. He's a pretty happy-go-lucky guy. There's actually a corner of, like, you know, Red Sox Twitter that has a nickname for him, Raffy Big Scoops, because his favorite food is ice cream. So, like, I think
Doug Peterson, you know, vibes. Yes.
Exactly. Dombrowski, you know, was the GM when he first came up. I feel like that's your big swing at the trade deadline if you want to really go for it. I'm just curious where you're at there.
True, I'm in, and I'm going to give you a comp. And look, he's not quite as great as this guy was, but some of the themes around him, like, hey, he's kind of like a weird clubhouse guy, and he's aloof, and he's a bad defender. Drew, Manny Ramirez was all those things, but some guys just hit so well. And again, I know he's not quite as great as Manny, but some guys hit so well, you put up with everything else, and that's this guy. Like, I almost think he's underrated in the hitter he's been since he got to the major. He already has 212 home runs and like an 860 OPS. If you put him in the lineup, if they had a top four of some combination of Schwarber, Turner, Harper, Devers, like, I think that's as good as anyone in baseball's
well,
top four.
And look, I get that you want to be careful of who you bring in the clubhouse and culture and all that. But if this Phillies clubhouse, after this long together, can be truly changed or impacted by a player at the trade deadline, then they got bigger problems.
Yeah.
Like, they should have a strong enough culture, whatever that culture is, it should be strong enough at this point to acquire somebody that maybe is, you know, like a happy-go-lucky guy.
Sure, I'm with you. He's gotten MVP votes in five different seasons. He is a big hitter.
And for what it's worth, Kyle Schwarber knows him, too. They were teammates in 2021
yeah. How old
for
is
a
he?
Little bit. So
he
you
is,
ask him
this is his
him.
Age 28 season.
So you're trading something of substance.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it'd be
what
real.
What would you be willing to give up?
I mean, they'd be in their rights to ask for an Aiden Miller. Or
yeah.
I mean, I don't want to trade Painter. But they'd be in their rights to ask for something huge for him. I mean, he's a big player.
Yeah, I do wonder if something creative, like, say, Boehm, Crawford, Abel, and maybe even you put in, like, Kirkering could get it done.
What about,
look,
you know, Christopher Sanchez could be someone that they're interested in. We have a lot of pitching.
Then you got to re-sign Ranger.
Yeah. You get to get creative. But I think the idea is definitely worth, you know, thinking about here. Drew, what's your guess for Elliot's Clues? What's the song?
Yeah, I'm going with Carry On, Wayward Son by Kansas.
I don't even know what song that is.
Oh,
so.
This one, I'm
surprised
like
Drew didn't get this.
I when I heard it was Drew in Westchester, I was like, he might. Drew, good
he
guess,
might have
not
heard it
it.
On the pod. Yeah,
it's a good guess, but that's not it. I feel like you've heard some of these songs. Like, you've probably heard that song he just mentioned.
Is that like
you
Carry On? Na, na,
yes, you know it. Yeah,
I know that one.
All right, 215-592-9494. Where do you come down on all this? Schwarber to leadoff, Trey Turner. Is it time to move Stott out? I believe it is. Elliot wants Schwarber back in the leadoff spot. CJ GJ. Are the Eagles going to regret trading him? I believe they are. Elliot's Clues. We got another clue coming up in the 12 o'clock hour. And who are you rooting for, DeCam or Fritz? Plus, no Hugh today. Elliot is in. Speaking of him, I'm worried about him after something we saw this morning. We're going to check in with something we saw from Hugh Douglas overnight. That's next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.